Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 in our consideration of the kingdom and taking a look at different aspects of the kingdom. We come to this passage here this morning, and the last time that we dealt with this, we considered about the 10 virgins and what we see in the application of that. Remember that in these different things where the Lord tells us, parables essentially, that He is telling us about aspects of the kingdom, don't make everything about the kingdom try to fit all in that one thing. Again, He's telling us about an aspect of it. He's telling about us pieces and parts, or slices, if you will, about the different ways that things work in the kingdom of God. We took a look some time ago that there is a kingdom of the Lord, and it is coming. It's on its way, isn't it? And it's being manifested more and more. It's kind of like the Lord is with the Scripture over the course of the millennia. In giving the Scripture, He revealed more and more about His purpose and plan and what He was going to do. Brother Doug touched upon the tribe of Judah this morning and how right there with the blessing of Jacob upon his son Judah, it's telling about the coming forth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that lion that would come out of the tribe of Judah, right? The lion, if you will. And so just really a wonder there how the Lord does in His Word. Well, with His kingdom, He's doing the same thing. It's being revealed more and more. And even this week, in this thing with the president of Iran and the gospel, the other gospel, and the Messiah that he preached, they're looking for another Iman to rise up, the 12th Iman that will be the last Iman that will be the whole the culmination of everything Muslim and Islam will be found in him. And we know that that's not the case. The Word of God talks about that man, if such a man does rise up, he'll be an Antichrist or the Antichrist. Right. And so, the world is ripe in every respect, economically, in civil government, and religiously for the appearing of that man of sin. And so, what's going to happen is Satan is going to try to rise up with his kingdom. Men are going to try to rise up with their kingdom. One world government, don't we hear about that? Or the close cooperation or the evening up of nations and the operation of nations. No sanctity of a nation or no sovereignty of a nation, but that needs to all be melded together for the betterment of humanity, right? That's what's proposed. It's right along with the doctrine of the man of sin, because he's going to be the man that's going to have the answer. We say that in quotes. And then one day in time, he's going to rise up and he's going to say, by the way, I'm God. And so, but that kingdom, you know what's going to happen to that kingdom? It's going to rise for a little bit. And then the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is going to bring His kingdom to pass, and all others will be put down. So there is a kingdom of God. We that are saved, we're citizens of it. We're children, sons, as the Lord says. He's adopted us. He's made us heirs of that kingdom. It is the Lord Jesus Christ said there in the Gospels, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's what He's going to do. And the Lord talks about in the Scripture that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to gather all things together and set up His kingdom, and then He's going to give it back to God. And so the kingdom is coming. Are you ready for that kingdom? What will be the case with you? Here in Matthew chapter 25, we pick it up in verse number 14, where we have another passage that says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country." So this is an aspect of the kingdom, and it's like this. A man is traveling to a far country who called his own servants before he left, if you will, and delivered unto them his goods. Let's read over here a couple of different references. Hold your place here in Matthew 25. I want to bring these into it. Here in Luke chapter 19, let's read over here. There's a few things that are different, but I believe that although the occurrence of when the Lord spoke these things. It might have been a near time or a similar time, might have been the same time. And then as the Lord impressed upon these brethren as they wrote these Gospels, they recorded different things that the Lord gave them in that, because there are differences here, but they all speak to the same thing. And Luke chapter 19, verse number 11, let's pick it up here. In verse number 11, Luke 19, verse 11, "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh unto Jerusalem, that is Jesus Christ, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should appear immediately appear." The expectation of the disciples was that Jesus would set up rule and reign during the time of his ministry. Okay, that's what they're thinking. But the Lord came the first time as Savior. He's on his way to Calvary and to be the Savior for his people, the Savior of sinners. But they're expecting that he's going to whip up on Rome, and he's going to exercise this great power that he's shown in the miracles to set up his kingdom physically then. So that's their expectation. Verse 12, "And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went to a far country," listen to what it says, "to receive for himself a kingdom and to return." So he's going to go to receive a kingdom and return. "And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them," remember this, "occupy till I come." It's a command from the Lord, a command to occupy, to be busy about the business that he has for them. "But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man reign over us. And it came to pass that he, when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him," the 10 that he gave the pounds unto, "to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading." So that's that part of that trading, is that part of that occupying. To be working under the instruction of the king, the master, okay? Verse 16, "And then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well done, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities." Hang on to that. That's interesting. "The second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. Okay? So the first had a multiplication of 10. The second has a multiplication of 5, right? And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. So he was faithful in this money, and now he's given him cities to be in charge of. Verse number 20, "And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin." I rolled it up in that. "For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man," or a rough man. Rough as a gale. Oh, when you do, and when you work, and when you speak, you blow. And you're rough. You're severe. Thou art an austere man. Thou takest up, thou layest not down. Thou reapest and reapest that thou didst not sow. He said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man." And I believe that the king is saying this kind of tongue in cheek, because there's some things that we're going to see about what he did, that what this man is telling about him is a lie. Taking up, but he's going to say, out of your mouth, I'm going to judge you. If you knew that was the case, and you knew that I was austere, that taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that did I not sow, wherefore then gavest not thou my money to the bank, at the minimum, at the least, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? At least a little bit of interest should have been the case, rather than burying it in the ground. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. And the Lord says here, verse 26, for I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, remember those that are mentioned there in verse number 14, as citizens that didn't want him to reign over them, he says, but those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before thee, before me. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. Another passage over in Mark chapter 13. Let's take a look over there and include this also in our consideration of Matthew 25. In Mark chapter 13, verse number 32, Mark 13, 32, the Scripture says, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, know not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father." Okay, and so that the Lord and His humanity does not know the time of His return. So, well, Brother Jim, I have a hard time reconciling that. So don't worry, don't try to reconcile it, just believe it. Okay, it's the truth, okay? Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is of the return of the Lord. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, gave authority to his servants, to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. And so it's very similar as these others that we've read, less detailed, but very similar. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. So you don't know, we don't know when it'll be. We don't know if it'll be in the evening time at night, or well into the night at midnight, okay, at the transition of the day there in the middle of the night, or when the sun is beginning to peak up over the horizon. We don't know if it'll be then. Or when the sun is up there in the morning before noon. Don't know when it be. But he, it says here in verse 36, "Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say it to all. Watch." Watch. So back in Matthew 25, the kingdom, in verse number 14, the Scripture says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country," as we've seen in these other places, a man that went to get receive a kingdom, and to return, he says, "The kingdom of heaven is like this, a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for your people that are convicted and have a desire to come and meet together to worship you today. Lord, help us as we look into your word, and Lord, speak to us in it. And Lord, help us that we might be shored up and built up in your most holy faith. Help us, Lord, that we might see about these aspects of the kingdom, Father, and that we as your children, Lord, that we would see that we need to be faithful unto you, Lord, to work during the daytime, because nighttime is coming, that time of rest that you have prepared for your people, it's coming. And in that day, there'll be no more work, as you say. Help us that we might live for you, be a good witness of you, and Lord, do what you want us to do as your children and as your church. Father, for those that are here this morning and not saved, Lord, speak to them. Lord, show them that they're not ready for your appearing, and Lord, that they need you, they need the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of their soul. Lord, that they might see Jesus. Lord, show him unto them, and Lord, make him precious to the salvation of their souls. Lord, save them. And Lord, that they might repent and believe and trust in Jesus Christ and work in them, Father, as you only can. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Here in Matthew 25, this kingdom, the kingdom is like this man that's traveling. He's given his goods unto his servants. He's given them command of what he expects for them to do. And in verse number 15, it says this, "And unto one he gave 5 talents, and another 2, and to another 1. In the other place that we looked at over there in Luke, it talked about pounds. Here it talks about talents. The point is, and even as a passage over here earlier in the book of Matthew that speaks about there was a man that built a vineyard and put a wine press in it, and he let it out to those to work it, and then having expectation that he would have gain from it. Okay, so all these things are similar. The parable is that there's one that's in command, there's one that's in charge, there's one that's overall. He's left this trust to those his servants there, okay? And so the parallels are all there that this has happened and that this is the case. It's an issue here of stewardship, okay? A stewardship. And to one he gave 5 talents, another 2, and to another 1. Over in the other there were 10, he gave to each of them 1. It's not so much about what he gave, but that he gave, and he gave instruction what them to do. Remember how it said in the other passage, occupy, okay? And watch. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. So stewardship there. Verse number 16. Then he which had received the 5 talents, what did he do? He went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. What was he? He was obedient, wasn't he? He was busy about what the Lord had commanded him to do. He'd been given this trust, given this stewardship, and he obeyed the Lord, and he went out, and with that five, gained another five. Now, in the other place, we saw that there was a multiplication of 10 and a multiplication of five, but here we see a multiplication of two. But what do we see? We see a multiplication, don't we? There's a gaining. And that's really the point that we need to get a hold of, is that there is, with that stewardship, there is an obedience, and there is indeed a gaining. Verse number 17, "And likewise he that had received two, he gained other two." Now, was he responsible for five? How many was he responsible for? Two. And so he obeyed in two. What the Lord had given him and saw fit to give him, that's what he was to be faithful in. He didn't have to worry about the guy with five. He didn't have to worry about the guy with one. He just had to be concerned about obeying the Lord, who had given him what he'd given him, with that and that alone. That was his responsibility. You know what? I know as parents, there is a time that we're responsible for our children's lives, and we need to guide them and direct them right. But you know what? In the basic essence and way of life, you are responsible for no more than you. Okay? I know in the family, there are some things there, but before God, in the end, you'll be responsible for no one but you. No, we won't be responsible. Well, as husbands, yes, we have a responsibility for a wife. I understand that. But I'm talking about just as an individual and living life, you are responsible for you. That's what you're responsible for. You can't live a life for another person. Another person can't live a life for you. You can't be faithful for another person, nor can another person be faithful for you before the Lord. You're responsible for you. You're not responsible to do this thing or that thing for the Lord unless it's been given for you to do that thing. Then you are. But if not, you're to be responsible with what the Lord's given you to do. So, each and every one of us better be finding out what that is. Amen? We need to find out. And we need to seek the Lord's face in it. And then we need to be responsible in it before the Lord, okay? And so here, there's one that has five, and he gained other five. One that's given two, and he gained other two. And then we see here the one. Verse number 18. "And he that received one," what's he responsible for? Taking one and using it right? Does the one that's given five, does he overshadow this one? No, because the Lord gave him the one. He's responsible for the one. But what did he do? Did he obey? Did he hear the word of his master? "But he that received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money." He buried it. He hid it there in the earth. He didn't obey. He didn't hear the command of the Lord to occupy. He didn't hear the command of the Lord to watch. He didn't hear the command of the Lord to be faithful in what the Lord had given him. He just went and took it and buried it. Okay? And we're going to see what he has to say here soon. And so, and hid his Lord's money. Are we to hide what the Lord's done for us? As the Lord's children, are we to hide the fact that he saved our soul? Are we to hide the fact that he's blessed us and the Lord blesses us in so many ways? No, the Scripture says we're to let our light shine. And we're not to be braggarts. We're not to be boastful. If we boast, we boast in the Lord, don't we? But if someone looks upon our life and they say, "Oh, you're blessed in this way, or you're blessed in that way, or you're blessed in another way," what are we to do? We're to say it's because of the Lord. But it's what the Lord's done for me. Not to say, "Yeah, okay, yeah, I know that. I've worked really hard for it." No, it's what the Lord's done for us. But we're not to hide it. We're not to bury it. And the most basic thing of salvation of a soul, the Lord says, you don't light a candle. He's lit the candle if he saved us. Amen. A candle's not lighted to be put under a bushel or under a bed. No, but to let it shine. And John 3 tells us that we that are saved, we should have a desire to come to the light. that our works may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. God's working in us. God's blessing is upon us, having saved us from our sins. And so this one, he didn't obey, but he buried. Oh, may the Lord help us that we not bury what the Lord has given us, what the Lord's commanded. Just look at this. After a long time, verse number 19, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with him. Yeah, we've seen that regarding the kingdom. There's going to be a reckoning one day. There's going to be a time. We looked at it and just read a little bit about it in Revelation chapter 22, where the Lord says there's coming a time where wherever you are, that's where you're at. Just in simple terms. Wherever you are, that's where you're at. If you're not saved, the time of grace, the time of salvation, the time of long-suffering, the time of mercy, it'll be done. You got your sins, and you don't have the Lord as Savior, condemnation. The condemnation of that sin is going to go right along with it, and you're going to bear it. We that have, as the Lord's children, we didn't serve the Lord like we should have. It'll be time for service. It'll be done. It'll be over with. Be no more opportunity to serve and obey the Lord and obey Him and what He says. It's going to be brought to an end. There won't be a time anymore for nations to turn their way. There won't be. It'll be done. What'll be done will be done, and it will be set. And so there's going to be a reckoning one day. Verse number 20. So he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest under me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 talents more. He was ready for the return, wasn't he? And it's not a thing of him bragging upon himself. It's a thing of that he was faithful in the command of the Lord and the blessing of his Lord. Who gave who what? Who called this man to be a servant? Did not the Lord call him to be a servant? He did. And then who gave unto him that which he had? It was the Lord that did so, didn't he? Who gave the trust? Who gave the command for him to tell him what he should do? It was the Lord that did so. And when the Lord returned, this man was happy to see his Lord, wasn't he? He was. Because look what it says there. So he that had received the 5 talents, received 5 talents, came. Okay? And the Lord did reckon with them, but he came, brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I've said it before, I'll say it again. My desire for every member of Olmsted Baptist Church is that when you stand before the Lord, you hear from the Lord, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Nothing will please me and make me more happy than that. For every member of Olmsted Baptist Church to hear that from the Lord, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Are you being a good servant? Are you being a faithful servant? Are you obeying the Lord in His Word? Are you obeying the Lord in His calling? That's what I desire for you. I can't do it for you. I can't do it for you. I can preach to you and I can teach you what the Word of God says. Now, I'm with little power to even be able to motivate you. But I pray that you would be in love with the Savior that has saved your soul. And you know what? If you'll be in love with Him, you will serve Him. You will follow Him. You will have a desire to please Him. Do you? Oh, I pray that you do. If you're not saved, you need salvation from the Lord. You need to repent of your sins and trust in Jesus Christ, casting all your care, all of your being, all of your existence upon Him. Fall upon His mercy and cry out unto Him for salvation. And we pray the Lord will save, the Lord will bless, the Lord will work. And then with the salvation of the Lord, you can serve Him too. Be obedient to Him. That's the order and the way that it is. And so this man was happy. And remember how it said in that other account that we read, he said, I'll make thee ruler over so many cities. Isn't that interesting? And he said, it says here that I'll make thee ruler over, what's it say? You've been faithful in a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. How will it be? When will be the next opportunity for the saints of God to have responsibility over cities? Well, it could be the millennium. It could be, couldn't it? You know, I have not any scripture to back this up whatsoever, and the Lord will do what He's well pleased. But wouldn't it be something, in just musing, okay, this is just Jim's musing and thinking about what the scripture says and wondering how to be meted out. I'll not be dogmatic about any of that, any of this, but wouldn't it be something if during the millennial reign that where the Lord's saints and where the Lord's saints were saved and where they were lived or where they were members of the Lord's churches, that the Lord brought them back to that region to occupy during the time of the millennium? You know, it may be for those in a region that would even survive. If we are the generation that sees the return of the Lord Jesus Christ for us in the clouds, it could well be that there would be those that would survive the tribulation that would be here and would know us from before. Like I said, I'm not going to be dogmatic about this, but I just think about it. Wouldn't it be something if that was the design and work of the Lord? That the Lord would grant unto us to be responsible for this part of the country? I mean, the Lord will do what pleases Him. But I wonder, because He says, I'll make thee ruler over so many cities. Isn't that what it says? Yeah. I don't know, but the Lord has told us these things for a reason. He says here's the name, the main thing. I'll make you ruler over many things, verse 21. But you know what's greatest? Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. There's nothing greater than that. Enter in there to fellowship with the Lord, the joy of the Lord. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing that will be. In Luke chapter 16, I want you to take a look over here. Here the Lord said to this one, He says, thou hast been faithful over a few things. In Luke chapter 16, we pick it up here. Let's read this in verse number 10. Verse number 10. In Luke 16, verse number 10, it says here, the Lord Jesus Christ says to His disciples, to us, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Little things matter with the Lord. Little things, like tithing and giving offerings on that little bit that God gives you. That's important to the Lord. Because you know what? You're not responsible for anything else. Tithe it on that great blessing of provision in that the Lord gives you. And giving offerings on that. That's what you're responsible for. And nothing else. You know, from the standpoint of that. Giving of your time for the service of the Lord. You know, you're not responsible for somebody else's time. You're responsible for your own time. And the little things. If we'll be faithful in that, then who knows what the Lord might have in store. But you know what? If we're not faithful in just the least commandments of the Lord, then how can we be faithful in anything greater? You know, we have been so blessed in our country that we have not experienced any persecution at all. I mean, if we've experienced any persecution, it's only been verbal or folks removing us from their company and such as that. I've never been hit for the cause of Christ. Never been slapped, never been punched, never been abused. I've never bled, you know, by injury for the cause of Christ. But you know what? If we're not faithful in the little things, when real pressure comes, if it would be our lot to have great pressure and maybe even have some persecution, if we're not faithful in the little things, how will we be faithful in that? We can have no expectation to be. One day it's just going to click. No, we need to be faithful to the Lord all the time. From the time that He's called us in salvation and called us to membership in His church, we need to be faithful to the Lord. You need to be faithful for you. I need to be faithful for me. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, that's even things physical of this earth, who will commit to your trust the true riches? You know what? In the basic instruction of the Lord and how that applies to us, here in the things of life, you know what? I think I understand that at least partly this means if we're not faithful just in day-to-day living life with our stuff, our family, the order of the Lord in marriage, the order of the Lord, order of the Lord in the home, the order of the Lord in the church, if we're not faithful in that, you know what? We can't expect to get anything more out of the Word of God. Think about it. Think about it. Are we stymied in our growth? Have we just learned a few basic things about the Lord and what we pursue in service, and that's it? Or has the Lord taken His Word and opened it up to you and spoken to you out of it? Well, we've got to be faithful in this thing before we can see what's over the horizon for the next thing. Because you know what? If we're not faithful for what the simple things that the Lord puts before us, if we're not faithful in that, we don't believe the Lord that we should do so, we don't believe that there'll be a recompense of reward for that, then you know what? We won't be in a position to see the next challenge or the next blessing or what the Lord has for us over there. And the thing is, we won't know that it's over there and just have our minds blocked to it, but we won't even know it's over there. Hear me? We won't even know. If therefore ye have not been faithful, verse 11, in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Verse 12, and if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, the Lord's, is not our life the Lord's? Is not everything we've been given the Lord's? Or for you working for your employer? Do you work for your employer and handle their stuff like you would your own stuff? We can have a tendency, or those that have a tendency to be abusive with another man's stuff, liberal with another man's stuff. Shouldn't be. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Amen. So, with that in mind, we come back to Matthew 25, and here this man's been faithful in what he was given. He was faithful in a little. And the other accounts that we saw, being faithful in just a few pounds. The Lord says, now, you've proven yourself, you've obeyed, you've heard, you've obeyed. I'll make you responsible for cities. How many pounds were in those cities? Many, 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 wasn't there? And even responsibility even greater than the money. Verse number 22. He that also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He didn't say to him, why didn't you gain five? He didn't say that, did he? But he said he was faithful in what the Lord had given him, his responsibility. And we see here a multiplication, a doubling of that. But it's not how much, it's just that it was multiplied. You remember the parable of the sower and the ground? Let's go back over and look at that. Matthew 13. Let's take a look here. The sower and the ground and the sowing of that on the roadside, right, the wayside, stony places where the thorns were, and then the good ground. Remember that? And in verse number 8 of Matthew 13, the Scripture says, but other fell into good ground, and you know what? On the good ground, it says, and brought forth some hundredfold, some sixtyfold, and some thirtyfold. You know, that's what our lives as children of God should bring forth, is fruit. Some may be more than others, but you know what? You're not responsible for what somebody else does. You're responsible for what the Lord's given you. You. But the question is there a multiplication at all? Is there a multiplication at all? Nobody ever puts a kernel of corn in the ground and expect us to get one kernel back, do you? I mean, this year was more like that, and the recent years that we've had, the corn crop, I understand, is just terrible. Some of our ears of corn out here in the garden, they just didn't fill up. But you know what? Even though it was as scrawny as bad as it was, there was more kernels on there than what we planted. Right? That's our expectation. The Lord's expectation is no different. He's sown the seed of the Word of God and life into our hearts, saved our souls. Does he expect just to get one kernel back? Never. He expects a multiplication according to that which he has given to us individually. And so, here we come to verse number 24. Then he which had received the one talent, what was he responsible for? Five? Nope. Two? Nope. He was responsible for one. He which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, here thou hast that is thine. So we got this fella. He takes the one talent that he's given. And what I would liken this one talent to, in a way I think that we can take it and apply it, is that this man had life. He had life from the Lord. And you know what he trusted in? Did he trust in the word of his Lord? Did he obey the word of his Lord? No. You know what he trusted in? He trusted in the earth to take care and secure and hold that talent there to make it secure till the Lord come. Was there any multiplication? No. That multiplication ended up like this, didn't it? One times one equaled one. But you know what? When the way it is with the Lord and what this parable tells us, really what it is that one times nothing equals nothing. We're going to see that. One times zero is zero. One times one is zero. Because listen to what the parable says. He says here, I had your one talent, and I know you're a hard man. You're a fierce man. We saw in Luke that it said that he was an austere man, rough as a gale or severe. Was he? Who had given the servant the place of servitude? If you will, if we take that one talent and just consider that as life, who had given life? It's a great blessing to be alive, isn't it? Yeah, even physically. It's a great blessing to be alive. The Lord is blessed with that. And he said, you're a hard man. Did he give him the talent and tell him, didn't leave him with any instruction? He told him what to do, didn't he? Occupy and watch. Be busy about my business. And has not the Lord told mankind out of his word the truth? Has he not told his children what we should do? Out of his word? He indeed has, hadn't he? Is he austere? Is he hard? Did he say, take and occupy and get it done right now? He gave him time, didn't he? Is not the Lord long-suffering towards sinners? He gives time to hear. We all deserve to die before we were born. But the Lord gives time. He gives time. He gives instruction. He gives the blessing of life. He gives provision, doesn't he? But this man falsely accuses the Lord. He falsely accuses him. In Matthew chapter 10, I want us to look over here and see what the Scripture says here. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, look at this. He that loveth father or mother, Matthew 10:37, more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Turn over here to Mark 8. Mark 8. Mark chapter 8, verse number 35. In considering about this talent maybe being representative of this one's life, here in Mark chapter 8, verse number 35, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. What did this man try to do? The one talent that he had, he didn't trust in the instruction and the command of his Lord, but rather hid it in the earth. He trusted the earth to hold it secure. And you know what? We're going to find he lost it all. He lost every bit of it, didn't he? Look here what it goes on to say. But his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, verse number 26 of Matthew 25, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, Where in the other account we saw where the Lord said, I'm going to judge you out of your own mouth. Okay, if what you say would be true, then you should have done something even in response to that. But here it says, and his Lord answered and said to him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Why is he wicked? He didn't listen. He didn't obey. Why is he slothful? He didn't work. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. You know what we've been created to do? To honor and glorify our great King and Lord, our Creator. That's what we've been, every single one in the house, everyone out here on the earth, everyone that will live and everyone that ever has lived was created to honor and glorify and praise God. But he's not got it from some, has he? But you know what? In the end, he will. And this one, he says, you should have at least put it to the usury. Verse number 28. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Remember what it said over in the other passage? The Lord, he's got 10. Why does he get another? Because that's what the Lord said. So now this one that had one talent now has nothing because they hid it in the earth, lived with their own instruction, their own way. And I want to point out a thing here in verse number 25 where he said that he was a hard man in verse 24 and made these false accusations against him, things that were not true, accusing the Lord of even being a thief. And rather than trusting and obeying the Lord, he trusted in the earth and the way of that. And it says in verse number 25, and I was afraid. You know, we're not to be afraid of the Lord. We're to reverence Him. There is that godly fear of reverence, but we're not to fear Him from the standpoint that if we obey Him and we hear Him and we trust Him, that that'll yet meet in our doom. Because you know what it says, and I find this very interesting, in Revelation chapter 21, those that will be cast into the lake of fire, it says in verse number 8 of Revelation 21, it says here, but the fearful and unbelieving, they're top of the list. See, we have a God that has given us life. God Almighty, the only God that there is, has created us. He knows about our issue and our problem with sin. He's made a way that sinners can have pardon of that sin and forgiveness of that sin, and even beyond that, be granted everlasting life. He took the initiative to send His Son to be a Savior, not at the inquiry or the request of any of us, or of any that has ever lived before us. But of His own will, He did so to make it so sinners like you and I could have salvation, forgiveness of sins, and everlasting life in and through His Son. And you know what? He's given His Word to tell us the truth about it all. Yet, there are those that are afraid to trust Him. They don't believe that He's reliable. Don't believe that He's trustable. Believe that He is hard and austere. But look at what He's done. Some would say, well, I'm just waiting for the Lord to do something and move in my life. Listen to what He's done. If you're here, you've heard the truth. You've heard the gospel. You've heard the word of life. You've heard about the Savior. You've seen the goodness of God. God has done something in providing His Son a Savior. Repent and believe the gospel. Yes, He is to be feared from the standpoint of what He can do to you, indeed. But that fear should drive you to Him, not away from Him. This man feared and drew away. He didn't hear the command. He didn't hear the instruction. He didn't consider about the provision. He sought his own way. And what did it do? It brought him nothing but destruction. Back in Matthew 25, there in Revelation it says, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers, all those will have their place and part in the lake which burneth with fire. Here in Matthew 25, in verse 25 it says, and I was afraid and wouldn't hid thy talent in the earth, even acknowledges that it was the Lord's. And lo, here thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Saying that, I believe, tongue in cheek, he's judging him out of his own mouth, that not truly being the case of the Lord. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him which hath 10 talents, for unto every one that hath shall be given. If you have, we have life, an aspect of the kingdom, it's just going to get better and better and better and better. We that have life, have been blessed with obedience to our Lord, salvation from Him. Forever unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not, shall be taken away even that which he hath. Or there in Luke 8, in the parable of the seed and the sower, it says, even that which he seemeth to have. You that are here not saved, you seem like you're alive. Well, physically you are, but you know what? That's not going to last. And spiritually, you're already dead. And if you die in that condition without Christ, you're going to die again in that place that we read about there in Revelation. Being cast into the lake of fire, that is the second death. And even life on this earth that it seems like you do have, even that will be taken away. For everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, being with the Lord forever, but him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath, or seemeth to have. Verse number 30, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That one given the one talent indeed was an unbeliever, given command and instruction by his Lord. But what did he do? He refused. You know, the Lord gives us these aspects so that we might hear. Child of God, you're responsible to serve the Lord with what He's given you. Do it. The sun's up now. Today's the day of service. But you know what? There's coming a sunset where it'll all be done. Our ability to gain, our ability to serve and occupy till the Lord comes. Our time of watching. Are we watching? We need to be watching. But our time of watching will be past, because He will come. May the Lord help us that we serve Him well. May the Lord help us that we seek to hear from the Lord with His help, His blessing. You know, prayer is a wonderful, awesome thing that the Lord has blessed us with, that the Lord instructs us, and that yet we can petition Him for help and strength to fulfill that which He's instructed us in. See, that's the working of God, the Spirit of God. And He loves His children. He hears His children. He grants unto us. But you that are here without Christ, you've got your life. And what are you doing with it? Are you hiding it and living it for yourself? You know what? Even that will be taken from you if you die without Christ.